Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color every Sunday. I want to say Friday. We're thinking about changing the time that we come on. So we'd like some input. If you guys would like to hear us at a different time or earlier time on Sundays, please let us know. We're looking at the ramifications of that, and what's possible. So that's one of the things that we're doing at this point in time, looking to do. So without any further ado, let me do the declaration and get the show on the road. We're gonna talk a little bit about. We're actually going to get into some of the questions that the summit has gone through. This 2015 is going to be our 25th anniversary, so we're looking forward to that event. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to probably be looking back into. Some of the things in terms of the questions, some of the moments, and such. And so we're really looking forward to discussing in detail some of those events and activities more than we normally do because this is our silver anniversary, sorry. 25 years. And so last year, you know, we went to Belize, and that was very powerful. So let me do the declaration. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within, a moment of silence, please. All righty. So what were some of the summit questions? We had some really good ones. Before we go there, what's the purpose of the International Black Summit? The purpose is to provide our participants an opportunity to bring into being their vision, for the black community and the world. So let me say that again. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And while I'm going there, I'm going to also bring you the Black Youth Summit and the Black Young Adult Summit purpose. So both of these are purposes. So this is the first one is the purpose of the International Black Youth Summit. We exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principle of youth, transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. Purpose of the International Black Young Adult Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants ages 18 to 35 a space for reflection, communication, mentorship, and growth through vision creation and implementation. This conversation empowers young adults to powerfully transition to adulthood equipped for global success. So those are the three spaces that we have in the International Black Summit, the adult space, the youth space, and the young adult space. And they are all take place simultaneously at our annual event. And we also can have other events that are happening in the communities. We've got summit shares, and we've got prerequisite courses. Prerequisite course is a course that makes available the work. So it's a standalone course that is a prerequisite to the summit, but also is a standalone program that can be administered to organizations, groups, and communities. And so we offer that, the different flavors of that. And what the prerequisite course focuses on authentic listening, which is one of the, I would say, the major principles of the conversation of the International Black Summit. So we listen for what life is demonstrating to us, showing us, putting in front of us to make things happen. So that's where we are, what we're up to, and gives you an idea. We invite you to visit our summit page, International Black Summit page, which is www.blacksummit.org. So that's a space that you certainly can look forward to looking at, and certainly can come to our page and see what's occurring, what is you know, what events are happening around the country, and certainly can also provide you with any additional information about what we're up to, what we're doing, what we're looking to do, and certainly registration for the annual event and or any other event that may be taking place around the planet. We do have participants from all over the world. We have folks from Kenya that when they can't get out of the country are now able to come in through telecommunications. We have we've got folks in South Africa. These are all places that we've been to. We have folks, a lot of Jamaicans, and not necessarily calling in from Jamaica as such, although that we used to have quite a bit. And where else? Of course, Canada. We've got the big Ottawa population. We've got around the United States, of course. We have gotten what else? I mean, we're all over. We've got New Yorkers, new people from New Jersey. We've got people from New Orleans. We've got folks from Florida. We've got folks from California, Oakland. We just got one of our new elders from Oakland. That just want to acknowledge, and Mrs. Olivia Andrews, who has been a big player, a big participant in terms of having her family participate in this work, and she was also associated with Landmark as well. So she really was an advocate for her family participating, and so that's what they did. She started an investment club. She did quite a few things for her family. So they were always talking about finances. They were talking about making a difference, and her daughters, and the daughters' family members, all of them, everybody, you know, cousins, other family members, all participated, and had a, you know, just a powerful relationship, a powerful communication, and so she is one of the elders now, and so sad to see her go, but know that she's in a happy place, and just acknowledge who she is and who she was for her family and who she was as a participant in Landmark Education as well as the International Black Summit. So we have, as I said, I was saying, you know, different places, so Oakland, San Francisco, L.A., we've got folks from Arizona, we've had folks from Vancouver, Canada, so we've had folks from pretty much all over the place. So it's one of those things where we are all over the planet, and we've got some Guyanese from South America. We've got some. We now have some folks from Belize. We were just in Belize, Central America, so we've got folks there. So we've got folks from all over the place that are participating in this conversation, and the conversation really is about empowerment, expansion, community, making a difference. And our question for the year, the 2013-2014 question, is what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the old one. Where is the new one? You don't have it on the website. Okay, I'm gonna have to look for that somewhere else. It's actually not on the website right now. So I'll get that out for you. So what we do is we normally have a conversation every year that we dwell in. And so that kind of gives us the edge, the opportunity, and the difference that we're going to make in terms of that year. So that, you know, what are we looking at? Looking for, in order to be able to create an edge for ourselves. So I'm going to get that question because that bothers me that we don't have it up at the site. I will get that. But so anyway, that's kind of the conversation. That's the conversation of the summit, and that's what we do year in, year out. We engage in those conversations, and we look to support each other and support and look for communities to support around the planet. So we're very committed to that. We've been to Brazil, some of the places that I haven't talked about. So we've been to Brazil. We have been to Belize now. We've been to Jamaica, as I said earlier. We have folks in, we haven't been to Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago. So I think that that's one of the places that we're going to look to do next or soon. I am looking for my little book that has my little information about our question. And, of course, I can't find it when I need it, when I want to put my hand on it. But I know it is around. So I'll find that for you guys. So not to fear. We will impact that sucker for the most part. And we will have that. So we'll have that to you before the show is out. So I want to. Okay, hold on. By George, I think I got it. So the question is, let's see, somewhere in here. Here it is. In the space of silence, I discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being to what I am built for? So that's the conversation that we are engaged in for this year. So can I give silence, space of silence? In that space of silence, I discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being? Will I give authority? Will I grant being to that which I'm built for? So we're really looking at, who am I in the world? What am I built for? What am I built to take on? What am I taking on? And how am I going to fulfill in that? How am I going to grant being to my authentic self? Because we've been looking at our authentic self. As you can tell from the last year's conversation, we were looking at what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to align with my authentic self? And am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? So we looked at authentic self, and we looked at and triggers are a distinction that are inside of the summit. And a trigger is something that has you go on automatic pilot, that has you not be listening, that has you on rails, reacting, rather than responding. And so that's the best way I can say that. It's a reaction rather than a response, because a response is thought out and a reaction is just you do it automatically. So you're triggered, and so a trigger, you can have good triggers and bad triggers. A good trigger, depends on where you're at in your weight consumption. But Mr. Softy is a trigger. So it reminds you of ice cream, and if ice cream is a happy experience for you, then that's a good trigger. If it's not, then it's a bad trigger. If you have had a bad divorce, and somebody mentions divorce, and what comes to mind is a bad divorce, so then that's a trigger that's not necessarily an empowering trigger that may bring some upset or some history and what have you. So what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? So my authentic self is that which I grant being to in this new conversation and what I'm built for. So we're using the work that we did last year, and we're taking a deeper cut at what it is that we're going to do for this year. And again, this year is going to be our 25th anniversary, our silver anniversary, so we're very much looking forward to that. And that's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. So stay tuned. Check out our website, www.blacksummit.org, for that information. So one of the things that I said that we do tonight is we talk about some of the summit questions. And again, these questions are things that that we deal with from year to year. So the first question comes out, and the first question that we actually dealt with. So this is at the outset of the 1991. We left that summit, and the question that we were in is, who am I in relationship to the Black community? What is it to be Black? Now, you know, when you think about it and you think about the power of this question, we were challenged with that question in belief, because, of course, what a Black American or a Caribbean American relationship to black is different than Africans, different than South Americans, different than Europeans, different than the Asian continent. They're all different aspects of what it is to be black. So we were engaged in that conversation very deeply as we were being interviewed on the morning shows in Belize. And that came up, well, why is it black? Why do you limit yourself to being of black African descent? You know, all of those things came up as a result, or not so much as a result, but as a consequence of who we are as people of black African descent. And, of course, our name is the International Black Summit. It's not the International African Summit or, you know, African American Summit or Black People Summit, but it's the International Black Summit. And so inside of that conversation, we have been bouncing up against our identity and so when I look at the summit moment for myself inside of that conversation, and so a summit moment is just a moment that you remember, that you recall, that you acknowledge about that particular summit. And so you can have, again, you can have pleasant moments, you could have sad moments, you could have, you know, different kinds of moments. So one of the moments for me in the first summit was the fact that when I got there on the Saturday, so it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, one of the things when I got there is I introduced myself. I'm Glenn Greenidge. I'm from New York. And it was like a hush in the room, like, oh, that's the brother from New York that started the group. Now, you know, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know, there was some conversation about Padeg because there were some other New Yorkers that were there and talked about Padeg and talked about and being one of the co-founder of the People of African Descent Empowerment Group, which is what PADEG stands for. Let me say that again. People of African Descent Empowerment Group. So that group I was a co-founder of. And so when I walked in there and said my name, they had already heard of me, heard of the group. And to walk into a group of 120 people of color, of which I don't know, I want to say I may have known, because a lot of people had known me around Landmarks Network because I was part of the what they call the six-day staff, which was a kind of elite staff inside of Landmark Education, which we all had come from. So we had all come from the S training and the and the newly formed forum. So those were where the 120 people came from. And so I'd been known around that network. And so there were names that I knew as names only that I had never met. But this is the first time that we all got together as a group of people of black African descent. And so that was a moment for me. At the first event, to just know that I was among people committed to making a difference in our community, in the black community around the world, and you know, specifically in the New York area. So, who am I in relation to the black community, and what it is to be black? And so, one of the other things that I want to talk about is the fact that. That we weren't the, when we left the event that Sunday, we were the International Blank Summit because we didn't know what to call ourselves. We hadn't agreed on a name for ourselves. So we were, so it was completely appropriate for us to dwell in the conversation of who am I in relation to the black community? What is it to be black? Because when you look at the definition of black, as I said earlier, for different countries have different relations. So we were in South America, and they have brown people, red people, and I don't think black was even one of them. So they didn't, but they had all these other distinctions. And then if you look at other areas, other people have different distinctions, like we were in Belize, and they were, I'm butchering up this name, Garifunas, and then Creoles. But nobody considered himself black. But they were one of those groups. And the Garifuna were the darker African folks. And the Creole were mixed and more light-skinned, but certainly of African descent. And actually spoke a language that was similar to the Jamaican Patois. So, again, you know, this conversation of what it is to be black is a very seemingly simple conversation, but it's so very complex as you traverse the cultures and the countries and the languages and the translations of what that means, what that is, what does that look like in terms of your country and your orientation. Because even though you may be from that orientation, you may still have a different orientation than your countrymen. So so that's really some of the conversations I want to share with around the first summit that were definitely that were definitely powerful, sustaining, and certainly looks like it could be interesting in terms of how people interact with it. If you have any questions, we've got some open lines, so feel free to call in if you're on the chat line, and if you're on the line, just press 1 and we can open up your mic and have a question answered. Not a problem. So, so we look forward to any engagements that you may have or questions you have around that. 1992, we're in Highland Park, Michigan, which was the site of the first Ford Motor Company, and it's actually a municipality inside of Detroit. That's where the, like I said, the first Ford Ford Motor factory was located in Highland Park. Anyway, the question that we dealt with at the end of that conversation was, what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? So you look at, you're looking at what it is, you're looking at what it is to, but it really is about, If I'm out to transform the world, who do I have to be? You know, what do I have to, you know, so it's an internal look. What do I need to do with myself? And one of the things that you'll see or consistent in the theme over the 25 years in the question or the inquiry, the declaration or inquiry, because there are the declaration or inquiry, what is it that you know, we're asking you to look inside of yourself inside of your mindset, inside of the work that you are doing on yourself. What must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? So the world ain't going to transform if I don't transform. So really, so the conversation for that is about how am I going to step up to the plate? You know, what must occur in order for transformation to occur? Those are the kind of engagements. So I was looking at a moment. So what is the moment for me? And I'm just picking out one moment, but there are, in all of these events, there are lots of moments. So this is not just one moment per summit. Let me be clear. Let me be real clear about that. There were a couple of watershed moments for me inside of the in that Highland Park Summit. The head of Landmark, at the time, the head of Landmark was there. Our Thursday night event is an open event, which means anybody, you don't have to be of Black African descent to attend that event. And he was there helping us set up chairs. And it was a very much a relationship, and it was something that was very proudly displayed inside of Landmark and so forth. So having him there was a pretty much a watershed moment. The other thing that I must say about the second summit was we talked about all of the negativity that we bring. Like all of that stuff came up. The hoes, the prostitutes, the pimps, the drug dealers, the drug users, you name it. All of the nastiness of what it is to be human and to be in this Black conversation, what is it to be a Black human? And then at some point, the conversation just shifted. And the conversation shifted in a way that that had us shift from the dark side to the light side, I'm going to say, just we just shifted. And in shifting, what we acknowledged and what we got and what we got to was the kings and queens that we were. So again, that was another watershed moment at the event. And then the other moment that I want to bring up, this stuff kind of gets a little emotional, actually. The other moment that I want to speak to is on Sunday, after all of that, I don't know why I'm thinking bloodletting for some reason. I don't know why that sounds like that should be it. But all of this stuff gets stirred up. Sunday was a calming effect, and Sunday became church. you know, it was very spiritual. It was very serene. And it started out, and it didn't start out that way necessarily. Or there wasn't any design for it to start out that way. But what happened is a brother was not in tears, but he was emotionally distraught, upset. And he shared something at the mic up front. And all of a sudden, all the men came and gave him a hug. So this was like a community hug. We all encircled him and gave him energy. And then the women in the room then hugged the circle of men. And I got to tell you that that moment was from going from all of the ugliness of what it is to be black and all of the challenges and the frustrations and all of the stuff that goes with being human, and to get to that quiet space, it's kind of like what we talk about. It's like what we talk about today in the inquiry that is, or the declaration that is, talks about that silence, and in talking about that silence, allowing that silence to kind of quiet and kind of allow us to see who we really are. To see ourselves, to see the bigness and the possibility and the awesomeness of who we are as individuals. So there's something about that silence and allowing that silence, which is, again, as I said earlier, part of that whole listening that the prerequisite is. We listen powerfully, and the question is, well, who or what are we listening to? But we're listening to ourselves as life is occurring, and allow life to direct us. Like we're listening for life to give us what's next. You know, and this is, I'm going to say it this way, and you guys are going to get it. How are you going to get it? But I see it like a male-female conversation, and the male energy is go out and make it happen. You're going to build something from nothing. You're going to, you know, you're doing that doingness, and that doingness is great, and you need it, but you also need the being. And so the being part of the conversation is really about allowing that silence and the quiet and life, because life has given you these opportunities. It's always contributing to you. Now, you may not see it as a contribution. You may not acknowledge it as a contribution. You may not take action with it as it's a contribution. But it's, you know, I liken it to the joke where a guy falls out of an ocean liner, and he's there floundering in the water, and a little rowboat comes by, and he feels like the rowboat is not going to make it back in. It's too far out. He'll be lost. So he passes it up. And then someone on a kayak comes out. And again, he has the opportunity to go with the kayak and chooses not to, because didn't look like it was enough room, or that he was going to have to hang on too long and he wasn't going to make it, because the kayak is usually built for one person, so he would have to been on the outside. So anyway, he passes away, and he gets up to heaven in St. Peter, and he says, St. Peter says to him, what happened? And he says, well, I was expecting God to send me, rescue me, and he didn't. And St. Peter turns and says to him, well, I sent you two boats. I sent you the rowboat and the kayak. The guy didn't think that that's what was good enough to rescue him. And so he missed those opportunities because he didn't see them. So I'm saying that to say that life has often given us opportunities and we don't see them because we are fixated on what we think it should look like and what life should be providing us. So those two ships didn't look like what he wanted or needed to be rescued with. And so in doing so, of course, he lost his life as opposed to being rescued. So, the conversation is, where are we not willing to be rescued or saved or along those lines because we're looking for it to be a particular way? So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org, and I just want to let you know who we are and what we're up to, and that's a good point to get some information and to really utilize it. Utilize the information that we are at the International Black Summit. So I think I have time for just one more summit question. And the Oakland Summit 1993, who or what must I be in order to transform the black community and the world? So again, it's different than what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world, but who or what must I be in order to transform? So it really is looking even, so we're taking another cut, a deeper cut at what is it going to take to create, transform the black community, and now we're looking at the world. So the previous year, what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? But who or what must I be? So we're actually beginning to be in that question of the, I'm going to call it the be-ness of what it is, what is it to be and what it takes how is life, and that whole doing being conversation I talked about earlier. So this is, we begin to envision the being part of the conversation, because the first two could have implied doing, but not necessarily. And so as we get more and more into the conversation, into the context of the conversation, we begin to engage. And again, this is for you to interpret and to inquire for yourself. Who or what must I be in order to transform the black community in the world? So Oakland. Well, what was the watershed moment about Oakland? Well, Oakland was very, Well, it was very interesting because at Highland Park, we started a training to be a facilitator. So at that point in time, there were 5 facilitators. And there was Robin Randolph, Anthony Randolph, married couple, Perry Parks, Catherine Young, and Kenny Young, no relation. So Robin and Anthony and Robin, Anthony, Perry, and Catherine had all led seminars in Landmark Education. Can't remember if Kenny had led any, if he had led any seminars, was in the seminar program yet or not. But I knew Kenny. Kenny was on staff, and I knew him from the 6th day. So Kenny had been around for quite a bit. He was up in Boston, then he had moved out to Chicago by this point in time. So anyway, so Kenny, so those were the 5 facilitators. And then there was a group of another 15 or 20 folks who were in training. So there were about 4 other groups, 4 groups of 5. And we used this 5 to kind of be the focal point for the facilitated groups. And we had met several times that year because we'd have planning body meetings. And we met at the planning body meeting, and the Friday would be the facilitated training. And then the Saturday and Sunday would do the work of the summit. So we were trained, we're being trained, and they forgot to tell us in Oakland that we'd be up front doing some of the summit events. So, of course, I mean, when you're presenting, you know, you definitely want to look a little different than when you're just participating or even just training, being trained to be a facilitator. So they forgot to tell us that we were going to be up front. So it was a little breakdown for some of us, because we didn't have our, you know, show clothes for the to be presenting. So that was an interesting, and we did it anyway. And, you know, we made it work and it made it happen, and we were all acknowledged and participated and had, as they say, upfront training. So we were, you know, we had live training. So that was a pretty interesting moment. Probably some other moments that I would definitely want to say about Oakland. But Oakland was our first West Coast city. I spoke about Olivia Andrews, who's now one of our elders, one of our, not elders, ancestors, one of our new ancestors. She was very involved, vocal, at that particular event. And she had her 2 girls, and she had some cousins, and she had all kinds of family members up in the space. So so she, you know, that's who she is and who she was for the Oakland event. Trying to think. Anything else I want to say about Oakland? Yeah, there's probably some other things I could say about Oakland, but I'm going to defer that to future conversations. And you know, just began to reminisce the aha moments. And, of course, you know, the interesting thing about all of this is that the moments that I have are going to be different for other folks. So whatever aha moments that I have, other folks are going to have different aha moments. So, so it'll be interesting. So we may go through these questions and these year summaries again, and it may sound very, very different because it is a unique experience, even though we're in the same room. The experience could be very, very different for some folks. I remember one of the women from New York, I'm not going to mention her name, but at the second summit, which was her first summit, she cried the whole summit. I mean, she literally cried, and that was her cleansing, her because all the stuff that we talked about just had her be emotional. And at the end of it, and she is, she still participates. She was in Birmingham with her mother. And her mother was in her 80s, and her mother participated with us. So the two of them, her and her mom, participated in Birmingham, Alabama. What was that, 2012? I can't even remember. Yeah, I think it was 2012. And is a powerful, powerful woman who's got a master's now and doing all kinds of great stuff. So I'm telling you, she's, but that summit for her was monumental. And, and let me go back to Highland Park. Highland Park, the New Yorkers rented a bus. So we were on a bus. We came from New York, and we maxed out, had a good time, didn't have enough money to get back on the bus, and ended up making money dropping folks from the hotel to the actual summit site in Highland Park, because there's no big enough hotels in Highland Park. So we were able to generate money enough from taking people back and forth to pay for the rest of our bus trip, because we only had maybe 25 of us. And, of course, the bus fit probably about 50, close to 50-something, 55 people or so. But we worked it out, you know, miraculously. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that happen around the summit. You know, miracles show up, and life, you know, you listen to life because it doesn't look the way you think it should, but it kind of works itself out miraculously. So, you know, that's what the summit is. The summit is all of that, constantly you know, having us redirect, as the GPS does always, it kind of recalibers and has us look differently, or say, okay, great, here's what we get to do now. And sometimes you have to stop and smell the roses and smell the coffee and allow life to give us direction fully. Anyway, that's my time for tonight. I want to thank you for joining us. Peace and blessings. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please visit our site, www.blacksummit.org. And if you've got some things that you'd like to share with past events, certainly summit events, watershed moments, please share them with us. We'd love to hear about them. And, good night. God bless. Have a great week. And look forward to some empowering conversations in the future. Ciao.